Galatians chapter 3. I'll be looking here at verse 10. Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 10. The Bible says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that you'd use this message, Lord, for your honor and your glory. And help me to bring it forth. Lord, I want to be a blessing. And allow the Holy Spirit to use it to accomplish your will. Lord, you know the hearts of every person that's here. Those that are saved, those that are lost, those that are backslidden. And Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they making sure that they are saved, making sure they're living for you. And Lord, that this message would be a message to encourage them to do what's right. Use it for your honor and glory. Keep a hedge over us and keep us safe. In Jesus, your precious name, we pray. Amen. If you remember the book of Galatians, Paul has written this epistle to the local churches to try to help them to see how salvation, the gospel, was given to us by God. And no one has the right to change it. No man can change it. No church can change it. No one has the authority to change it. God gave it. And then what we could see is Paul has been going through here trying to explain to this these local churches, as there were people that came in and tried to change the gospel, Paul showed them the foolishness of that. There were those that were saying you had to keep the law, you had to keep your salvation. And Paul's been going through trying to explain to them the foolish of that false doctrine. And that is surely a false doctrine, believing that you can work your way to heaven or you can keep yourself to go to heaven. Amen. And the reality is that's foolishness, because none of us can do that. So anyway, that's what we could see as we're continuing in chapter 3. We're picking up here. And what we could see in starting at verse 10, Paul's reminding us what the law has done to us. What the law has done to us. The law condemned us. The law says each and every one of you are guilty, right? You just look at the Ten Commandments, and you think about, has anyone ever put anything before God? Let me ask you, have you ever missed a church service for another reason? I'm not talking about a valid reason, like you had to go to hospital or something like that. But let's say that you missed a church service, or missed reading your Bible, or missed taking time to pray. Have you ever done that? The truth is, we're all honest. If we're honest, we would all say yes. You know what that means? You broke the law. That means you're guilty. And what Paul was saying is, again, he was trying to help these people to see the foolishness of those that would say, hey, you got to keep the law. Paul said, they that are under the works of the law are under the curse. The reality is this, you think about it, it's a curse. But why? We can't get out of it. There is judgment to that. So here it is, we're just taking, you know, even the Ten Commandments, looking at the Ten Commandments. That means you failed the first one. You can ask the story and go through. We probably failed all the other ones that are there. May not be the actual deeds, but even the thoughts of it, thinking through it. So anyway, what Paul's saying is the law said that we are cursed. The law says this, you have to be perfect, Bob, at all times. At all times. There can't be a single time in your life that you can't be perfect. From the day that you were born, the day that going the whole way up until you would die, every single day, every single minute, every single second, you have to be perfect. That's what the law says. The law is here and saying the law doesn't have a caveat that says for the first commandment about loving your God, keeping God first. The law doesn't have a caveat that says only when you feel like it or only when the weather's bad. No, it says at all times. So the reality is, you think about it, you could be perfect. None of us are, but you can be perfect for 50 years of your life. And then you had one small little blemish, just the smallest little one, that you got mad at someone. Someone did something against you, and you cussed. You had one small blemish. You know what the law says? You're guilty. You're condemned. See, the law tells them, that's what Paul is trying to remind the people. He's trying to tell us, hey, that law tells us that you're guilty. That law is a curse to us. You know, because that law says, this is what I expect is perfection. You've got to keep at all points of it. And if not, you're guilty, and your punishment is to spend eternity in hell. That's the law. And that's what Paul is trying to remind these believers that were there, those that came in and trying to teach them that you had to keep your salvation. He's like, don't you remember what the law said? Don't you know the requirements of the law? The law required perfection. Look what the Bible says back here to the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32. Here is the giving of the law when God gave the law to Moses. And what we could see is when he gave him here the Ten Commandments, God wrote with his finger on those tables. God did it. God is the one who engraved it. It wasn't Moses making it up. God gave it to Moses. And I want you to look here in Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32, we'll start reading at verse 15. Here is Moses as he's up on the mount. God's given him the law. God's given him the Ten Commandments there. And then God tells him, hey, something's going on down the camp. And the reality is he was going to wipe them out because of their sin. And look what we see here in Exodus 32, verse 15. As Moses, with the Ten Commandments, is now traveling down the mount, what does he run into? And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, and on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. I want you to think about this law wasn't man. God is the one that gave it. God is the one that says, okay, here's what I expect is perfection. You know, a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people don't like it. And what they'll say is, I don't care what God says. Well, that's your choice. God has given you a choice. If you don't like what God said, that's okay. But you're going to die and go to hell and pay for your sins. You may say, well, I don't like that. Well, that's God's way. Amen? It doesn't matter if you like it or not. Amen? He's God. God's saying, if you're going to go to my heaven, this is what you have to be perfect. And here it is, as he came down, the Bible says, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, and he said unto Moses, there is noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome. But the noise of them that sing do I hear. Can I just give you a free, this is a free note, not written down. But if your music sounds like war, there's something wrong with your music. Amen? He goes on and says, and it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, as soon as that law came right in, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the stones out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. I want you to think about that just for a second. Here was Moses had the tables that God gave him. As they were come down the mount, Joshua was like, what is that? Is that war in there? He's like, no, that's not war. That's the sound of singing that's there. And as soon as he comes down, there's the people that were there. Do you know, matter of fact, they were naked, you know? If your music doesn't convict you of living in a way that you shouldn't live, there's something wrong with your music. But anyway, as he came down, he saw them. He saw those golden calf that was there. As soon as Bob, the law came right in. They broke it. They didn't even last a second. They didn't even last a minute. They didn't even last a day. They didn't make it. Matter of fact, they broke it before they even came down. Folks, I want you to understand that when Moses took that and he threw those down, he was showing them what they did. They broke God's law. And they were guilty. Folks, I want you to understand that the law says that we are guilty. We are cursed. We are cursed. Look at the Bible says over here. I promise you the message gets better as we go. Amen. But look over here to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11. In Deuteronomy chapter 11. So they turned to idols. They were guilty. God pronounced guilty to them. Even before the law was given, those who died without Christ or Messiah went to hell because they knew what they should have done and didn't do it. But look here at Deuteronomy chapter 11. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, look what the Bible says starting at verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting at verse 26. The Bible says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse," right? God's given you either a blessing or a curse. And what is this? He says, "A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day," right? Now, again, we know this was given to Israel. But what was he saying to Israel? Hey, if you obey me, there'll be a blessing. But look what he says here. "And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which you have not known." Can I tell you that law, when you think about that law that's there, when we look at the law, it's a curse to us. If Jesus did not die on the cross for my sins, can I tell you, I would look at that law and say, I am surely guilty. I am deserving of the punishment because I broke the law. And that's what the Bible's telling us. Do you know the law was not written for or given for righteous people? The law wasn't given for righteous people, no. Because if everyone was righteous, why give a law, right? No one's going to break it. The law was given for the unrighteous. The law was given to show you and me, we can't do it on our own. We need a Savior. Look at what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 27. In Deuteronomy chapter 27. I find this interesting when you look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 27. In Deuteronomy chapter 27. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, look down here, verse 26. In verse 9, it was starting where Moses and the priests were there. They put them on two separate sides. One side was the blessing, one side was the cursing. And look what he says here at the end of when he's going down to pronounce all these blessings or these cursing. Look what he says in verse 26. "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of the law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen." I want you to think about that for a second. I'm sure there may have been someone in that group that was there that wasn't a believer, didn't believe in the Messiah to come, and they were just like, I don't care what God said, you know, and they were just hiding it. And as they were hiding it, and they were thinking, you know what? I'm not going to say nothing. I'm not going to say I agree to that or not. And then you know what happens? God gives them the last one and says, oh yeah, by the way, if you don't say it, you're cursed. Doesn't matter if you agree to it, Chris, or not. You're cursed. Amen? Hey, that was the purpose of the law. Do you see that? He says, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen. You may say, I'm not going to do it. Well, you're cursed because you didn't. Folks, can I tell you, now you can see what the law is. The law says I'm guilty. The law says I am cursed. What's that mean? I'm going to die and pay for my sins. That's the law. Paul is trying to remind those people and saying, hey, do you understand if you want to go back to the law, that's what the law says? Matter of fact, go over here to the book of James. James is in the New Testament. In James chapter 2. In James chapter 2. James chapter 2. In James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Always remember, you think about what the law is, but I got good news. There's a Savior can forgive you. Amen?
Amen.
You may be under the law per se, you never got saved, or you're still under the penalty of your sin. But can I tell you, you keep on listening, it'll show you of a Savior who is willing to die for you. Amen? But look what the Bible says here in James chapter 2, and starting at verse 10. James chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, right? Do you know there's more to the law than just the Ten Commandments? Sometimes we forget about that. But there is more to the law than just the Ten Commandments. He goes, and here it is. Let's say that you keep everything. And yet offend in one point. One small thing. The Bible says he is guilty of all. Let's say God blesses you and you live for 100 years. And let's say in that 100 years you lived a perfect life. You can't. But let's say that you would. Lived a perfect life. But 1 second of your life, you did one thing wrong. The Bible says you're guilty. You're condemned. The Bible says for that guilt, for the wages of sin is death. It's eternal separation from God. Folks, can I tell you, the law was not to save us. The law is just to show us what we are. I have, different times I have had, when I was teach class for kids, and kids are good with illustration. They like illustration, like you hold something up. And sometimes us as adults are good with that. And I remember one time I brought in a picture frame to the kids. And in that picture frame, I had some picture behind it. What was that picture? I can't remember. And I asked those kids, I said, you know, here's a picture frame. Here's a picture that's in it, right? So here's the frame. Here's the picture in my head, right? But anyway, here it is, the tear. And I asked them, what do you see? Now, let's say, from this picture frame, it was this. And if I asked you what you see, you would look and say that you see a flag, right? Some of you say you could see In God We Trust. And others would be like, it's a little blurry, right? That'd be me. You may say, look, there's stars. Some of you may go through and count the stars. Is there 50? There's 50. Look at that. Praise the Lord. Amen. 50 stars you may count. You may go down and count the stripes. 13. You look at that. You did well. Amen. And count that. That's there. And look at that and say, that's what I see. And I can't remember what the picture was that I had in there. But you know what I did then? I took the picture out of the frame. And I had the glass. And I put it up to the light. And I said, what do you see now? Do you know what a light will do? Light will show you the dark, as in dirt. They looked at that and they were like, I think they called me Mr. Dan. Mr. Dan, have you ever cleaned that picture frame? That is so dirty. I mean, they were like, oh, all they could see was the dirt. Folks, can I tell you, sometimes in our life, what we may do is we may look in the mirror and we may say, well, I am so good. You know, I'm not a bad person. But can I tell you, when you start looking into the light and you look at what God says for your life, you know what you'll see? When you start looking here, you'll see I am unclean. That's what the Bible's saying. I am guilty of them all. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Matthew. Oh, I'm sorry, book of Mark. You're in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark. Look here at Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10. Look what the Bible says down here, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He was a man that really wanted to go to heaven. He had a desire. You're here today, and I bet you most of you want to go to heaven, either on your way to heaven or you want to go to heaven, right? I can't remember too many people I have ran into in my life that said, "I want to go to hell." I haven't met too many people like that. There's been some people that I have met in my lifetime that have said that, and I tried to explain to them what hell was, and they were just, "That's not going to be what it is." And I was like, "Well, that's what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what you think it is. What matters is what God says. And if not, how did you come up with the name hell? It was God who gave the name, right? They know it, right?" But anyway, he had this desire. Jesus said unto them, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." You know what he was trying to do is get that person to realize who he is. He was God in the flesh. He's saying those things. It could show you that this person that was there that desired heaven did not know who he was. And then he goes on and says, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother." Here he's talking about commandments about interactions with others, right? He answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." You know, a lot of times we look at those things and we'll say, "I haven't committed adultery," right? But you know, if you're married and you have thoughts in your mind and you think those things, the Bible says you have committed adultery in your heart, right? It's not just the act, it's the thought. So the reality is, you think about it. Here it is. He was trying to get this young man to think, or this man to think about something. And then Jesus, he answered and said to the master, "All these I have observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up that cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus is not trying to say that you have to sell every single thing that you have and be poor to go to heaven. That wasn't the point of what the Lord was trying to do. Because this man, going back to that picture frame, would look at that picture frame with the picture that's in it, and it would be his own picture, and look at it and say, "But I'm good. I haven't done all these things." And then all God was doing was taking that picture out and putting it to the light and got him to really think, because that man trusted in his wealth, his material things. And when he saw that, he realized that he was greedy. He didn't want to give up those things. What was it? There was something else that was before God. And he left away and was sorrow. Folks, can I tell you, there's a lot of people in this world today that are good people. But when you come to this very words of God, you know what you find? Is I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Now, I said all those things. Look here to the book of... go back to the book of Galatians. So Galatians chapter 3. I said all those things just to tell us what we are. But here's the good news. There's still a way to go to heaven. See, if you go back to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3. And when you look here at verse 11 and then verse 13. So we kind of talked about the other verses. In verse 11, it says in Galatians 3, But that no man is justified in the law in the sight of God, right? So again, we're all guilty. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Paul is now getting to the meat of it and saying, don't forget what the law does. The law condemns us. The law is a curse to us because we can't save it. He says, matter of fact, if it's of works, there's no way we can do it. We can't undo what we have done. So salvation has to be of faith. It can't be of works. And then he goes through and says, I want you to understand that in the law, none of us can keep it. God expects perfection. Perfection. And all of us, we would look at ourselves, and if we're honest, would say, there is surely a lot of blemishes, a lot of sin in my life. And Paul's reminding and saying, that's why Jesus came. The reason Jesus came to this world is because I'm guilty. I'm cursed. I'm a sinner. There's nothing I can do to save myself. I can't go and say, all the years of my life I've been perfect. Nope, I'm guilty. And he said here, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do that? Being made a curse for us. Now, again, that doesn't mean that Jesus sinned, right? Because if Jesus sinned, that means he cannot be your substitute. Do you know, I was reading something, I forget, years back, and they asked people who claimed to be Christian, you understand why I say claim to be Christian, they asked them, they said, has Jesus Christ ever sinned? And I can't remember, it was 30,000 people, 50,000 people respond, and the majority of those people said, Jesus sinned. You can't be a Christian if you don't see him for who he is. Jesus never sinned. Jesus cannot be your substitute unless he was perfect. Right? Let's say for an instance, let's say that I committed murder. Right? I didn't. But let's say I committed murder. I am guilty of dying. Right? Some states don't put capital punishment. I believe we should go back to capital punishment. It'll discourage people from killing people. And it's not just me saying that, the Bible, but there's also those who have killed people will tell you some, what they do is they go to places where they know they're not going to get capital punishment. They even know it, right? People take plea deals so that way they don't get capital punishment. Anyway, how did I get on that? Oh, I'm guilty, right? Killed someone. Since I'm guilty, that means I deserve. So here it is. I'm just using an example. It's not the case. Well, let's say John's also guilty because he killed someone. You're going to be like, whoa, you guys are bad. Amen. We are, right? And here it is, as the judgment is getting ready and I'm getting ready to die. They're going to put me on an electric chair or whatever, a firing squad, whatever. They're going to put that stuff in me and kill me. John says, I'll take his place. Well, that's not going to work. You know why? Because John's guilty. How can John take my place if he's guilty? Right? Jesus can't take your place unless he was sinless. That's the only way that God would have accepted the punishment is you had to have someone that would redeem you. That's what he's saying here. Look what the Bible says back here to Deuteronomy. Back here to Deuteronomy, and that's Old Testament, Deuteronomy, because of what Paul wrote there about cursed is the one that hangeth on a tree, right? So if you go back to Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, so he talks about this, what Jesus did for us. He redeemed. He became a curse for us. Look back here in this Old Testament example, law that was given. And I want you to see something about our Lord. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 21, starting at verse 22. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, thou shalt hang him on a tree. What does that mean? He's cursed. He's guilty, right? His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance. Here it is. He gives us this principle that's here in the Old Testament. So we're not under the law, right? We're under grace, under church. So in the Old Testament, if they had someone that would sin that was worthy of death, they would take that person and hang them to a tree. And when that person died, they had to the same day remove him. Because if not, the curse would still be in the land. Did you get that? When Jesus died on the cross, he took your sins and our sins. And that's what he did. And that's why he lived a sinless life. And when he went to the cross, remember he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The sins of the world was placed on him. God the Father looked down and saw God the Son, and he was cursed. He took our sins. God the Father turned away from God the Son. Why? Because of the sins of the world was placed on him. Jesus died and shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remissions of sin. He died for us, shed his blood, and then they took him down and buried him. Do you know, if he would have stayed on that tree, on that cross, the land would still be cursed. But they took him down and buried him. That means you have an opportunity to not be cursed, but blessed. That means you have an opportunity to be forgiven. That means you have an opportunity, because he arose from the dead, saying that the sin debt was paid in full, that you can have eternal life.
Amen.
That's what the Bible's saying. You think about those Old Testament things you may read and be like, what does that mean? And then once you look at that, you can look to the New Testament and what Jesus did, and it just makes so much more sense. When he died for me, was buried, he paid my sin debt, he arose from the dead. You know what he's saying? Is when you accept me as your Savior, I will pay for your sins in whole, and you're no longer cursed. You are now blessed. You are now redeemed. You're on your way to heaven. Folks, why would anyone ever want to go back to the law? It just says you're guilty. Jesus paid for your sin in full. Folks, it's a wonderful thing when you think about it. I am forgiven. And because Jesus loved me enough and did that for me, but my desire now and your desire should be, I want to tell people that. I want to tell people that you can be forgiven. As Debbie sang that song, where will you be a million years from now? I want you to think about it. Bob, you're going to be somewhere a million years from now. Chris, you're going to be somewhere. Jenny, you're going to be somewhere. That's the truth. And you may say, well, I don't believe it. Well, going back to Deuteronomy, the Bible says now you're cursed. Doesn't matter if you like it or not. Doesn't matter if you agree to it or not. You're going to be somewhere a million years because you've been made in the image of God. Now, God is now giving you a choice. You want to pay for your own sins? That's your choice. You'll spend eternity in hell. That'll be paying for your sins. You'll never get out because you can never pay for them. Or allow me to pay for them. Not me, but Jesus. That's what he's saying. It's your choice. Now that's an easy choice. But you know what happens, Chris? It's called pride to people. They just don't want to accept it. They do not want to get over their sin. They love their sin so much that they'll say, I'd rather have my sin. For maybe if God allows you to last for 100 years compared to all eternity.
That doesn't make sense. But God has given you a choice. Either you will continue to be cursed and die and spend eternity in hell, or you allow Him to be cursed for you and pay for your sins. It is a free gift that's offered. If you have accepted Christ, how can you not try to tell someone about an opportunity to go to heaven, to be forgiven? And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it wasn't me, but it's God's Word. This is what matters, what God says. God says you're guilty, but He's given you a choice. You can be forgiven by having a substitute, or you could pay for it. What choice are you going to make today? Father, I thank You for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message was a blessing and a help. Lord, I don't know what people are thinking today. I don't know who's saved here and who's not. You do. And Lord, I pray that if there be that one that's here today, or two or three, I don't know, that's lost, I pray, Lord, that they would come forward and make it known. And we can have someone from the Bible to show them what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what it means to allow Him to pay for their sins. Lord, I pray for the believers that are here. I pray that this message will encourage us to try to witness for You, to bring others to You. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name.